Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, we talk a lot about Congress, what is and isn't happening there. We look at the battles. We often look at those battles as simply left and right or Democrats versus Republicans. But what if there is something underneath just the big headlines of red, blue, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican? What if there's some more nuances underneath that? Let's check it out. Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Well, it is time to think again about what we think we know as it relates to Congress, and that there's many more nuances to the way some of these caucuses and these alliances and these relationships form on both the left and the right. Our friends at 538 have done a deep dive into all of this, looking at these quiet caucuses. Kaylee Rogers, a political reporter at 538, award-winning work focuses on the intersection of politics, technology, and science. And Kaylee, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is a great work by you and the whole gang there, I think, at 538, looking at some of the subtleties of some of these alliances, these little quiet caucuses. I want to know first, sitting in the room as you all decided you were going to go after this, what was that conversation? What were you suspecting going in? And then what did you actually find?
Right. I mean, my colleagues, this was sort of their brainchild where they had this idea of, you know, we know about the sort of formal caucuses, the Freedom Caucus, the Blue Dogs. We kind of know about these general alliances within Congress. But when you look at their votes, do they always vote together? Some of the time, most of the time, what does it actually show when you look at their behavior, not just their sort of stated allegiances? And so we thought, well, we could do that. We're pretty good with data. And so we figured out a way to pull it and compare that those votes. And what we found is there's sort of outside of those formal caucuses, is sort of, as we called it, quiet caucuses, where certain groups in the House tend to vote together more of the time than other groups. And they're not always aligned the way that you might think.
Yeah. And I love that. That think again moment is always really powerful. I often found that being a chief of staff in the Senate, that there were some of these that like, wow, these two people vote alike a lot. They may vote for different reasons, mm-hmm. but they end up being much more similar and a little surprising. So let's dig into those. Some of those that you found that did tend to vote alike, again, regardless of the kind of the rhetoric around all of that. But let's go through a couple of those.
Right. I mean, one of the big headline ones is we called them the far right obstructionists. And a lot of those individuals are who you might expect, you know, members of the Freedom Caucus, these sort of further far right members of the House that really are not only not going along with what the rest of their party is doing, but in particular is very anti-establishment. So they're you know, more likely to vote against amendments that their party is in favor of. They have kind of more of a far right stance on certain issues like foreign policy. And so a lot of those members were kind of who we expected, 33 members of the Freedom Caucus, 30 members of the Republican Study Committee, which is kind of the committee that's sort of every member of the Republican
right.
Party. It's sort of the big tent one.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were some surprises in there as well. You know, we had Ben Klein, who's a member of the Problem Solvers Caucus. Mm. So a little surprising to see him, you know, as part of this more obstructionist group.
Yeah.
You know, on the left side, we had three groups of Democrats. And again, like some of it is sort of what you would expect, you know, the more progressive group that tends to vote on more progressive issues together. A lot of them were from the Progressive Caucus. But it was interesting even looking at that, seeing where it was that they broke with the rest of their party. So on with sort of the core Democrats, it's sort of like the in-between.
Yeah.
Centrist sort of part of the Democratic wing of the party, the progressives were breaking with them on things like foreign policy, the Middle East, about, you know, funds for moving the U.S. embassy out of Jerusalem, for example. And then when you compare them to the more moderate Democrats who are, you know, slightly closer to the center, they broke more on issues relating to like crime and policing. Mm. You know, there was a vote on a police bill of rights that the progressives were against, whereas the moderates were for. So even when they do vote in the way you expect, it was interesting to dig in a little bit and see what makes them distinct from the other groups within their own party.
Yeah, that's such fascinating stuff, because it's and that's where I think we actually have to get in these conversations, is beyond the headline and the obvious stuff. It's like, well, they all voted this way or they all voted that way. A lot of times there are very interesting subtleties that I actually think lead us to better conversations about the policy. When you start to understand, oh, well, they wanted this component, or wow, this was really the struggle point for them. And so as you went through that and looked at some of those processes, of course, everyone's looking at where are the people who are going to get something done committee. So yeah, you sort of have that problem solvers caucus, and describe for me what you found kind of in terms of that middle, whether it's kind of the more centrist Democrats and the more centrist Republicans and some of these problem solver folks. Give us a sense of how those played out, and what do you expect to see from them, especially in this kind of contentious, polarized election cycle?
Right. So if you go to our project and you scroll down, you can actually see how these different groups voted on specific types of votes in the House, which can be a little weedy, but we've tried to break it down and make it easy for everybody. But I'll give you an example. So there's a procedural process, as you're aware, called suspension of the rules. And usually this is something that's used to vote on less controversial stuff. It makes it easier to sort of expedite the passage of this legislation with a 2/3 majority vote. And Speaker Mike Johnson has been using it to try to push through bills that he has been getting, opposition from that far right wing. And when you look at that, most of the sort of all the parts of the parties that are kind of closer to the center, they're all voting, 95-96% in favor of this kind of vote. But then the progressive wing, they're only voting 87% in favor of it. Mm. And the far right obstructionist group, they're only voting 77%. So you can see where we're starting to get that breakdown of process, where normally this would be stuff that's kind of procedural and getting passed. And these sort of farther fringy wings of both parties are the ones that are kind of holding things up.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fascinating. And I will confess that I did go down the rabbit hole on the website, because it is so interesting to see all of those little nuances. And as you pointed out, Kaylee, some of those people, you say, wow, that's surprising. You know, they would vote this way, or they'd be considered part of this group. But I do think that leads to better conversations. And everyone should check that out. If you go to projects.538.com, you'll see it has the different types of Democrats and Republicans in the House for 2024. And it is really interesting to scroll through and look at some of those scenarios and angles. What's one thing that surprised you in this whole process, Kaylee, before I let you go?
I think what really surprised me was how much these groups actually really like establish themselves. Once we started looking through the votes and, running it through, doing the math to it, so to speak, it became really clear, these clusters. And the fact that there were really five distinct groups on the Republican side and three distinct groups on the Democrat side really shows that there's much more division on the right now, which, we can kind of glean just from all the animosity and the trouble they've been having getting stuff passed and switching speakers every few months. You can see why it's so fractured right now, because there are these distinct different clusters, and they're not always in agreement on what needs to be done and how to do it.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if we'll ever get to kind of that coalition governing kind of thing. I mean, we're sort of seeing that in an interesting way right now, but this is an incredible deep dive, as always, from 538. Great numbers, great research, great reporting. Kaylee Rogers, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right, again, that's Kaylee Rogers from 538, and you should go check that out today. Again, you can just go to projects.538.com, and you'll see all the different little clusters of groups, and it will surprise you. You'll see some people say, oh, wow, I would have suspected that this congresswoman would have voted this way, or that she would have been part of this group or that group. It's really an eye-opener to see how they actually vote versus just the rhetoric versus what you just assume because of the headline, because they have a D or an R by their name. And that's why, as always, we have to think again about what we think we know. We'll be right back.
Think Again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.